Would you buy? Would you want immediate satisfaction, like gratification, like a food item, like get a?
No.
Would you want to
Want
be
something
practical
like.
like me and get like toiletries or soaps or something?
Y'all didn't
Maybe.
buy a
You could be
Switch,
fun to
I'm
get like.
guessing.
No.
Okay, because then
Or
you
you
can
could
buy a game, but
get
like
save
bath
it.
bombs.
Bath
Save it.
bombs.
Or like,
For when you see something you like.
I need a
Baths, not
new.
bombs.
I guess I could save it. I'm never going to remember to.
You know what
Well,
happens to
can't you
me
just add it and then it'll be in your account?
when I get Amazon gift cards, I always forget to check when I'm checking out, and then they get spent on like socks or shampoo.
Right.
No, but I like you can redeem it and it just stays in your account, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how,
No,
yeah,
that's what I did. That's what
exactly.
he's talking
That's
about.
what I'm
Yeah.
saying. And then when next time I check out on Amazon, I'm not paying attention when it says, "Should we use your gift certificate balance?" And it does. And then I'm like, "Oh, I guess my mom bought me shampoo for Christmas."
Listen, it's just money that goes into one generic pile of spend.
Yeah.
But I like to break it out. Maybe I do need a. I was thinking of getting a new armband for the gym, but
Oh, maybe an Alta HR from
no,
Fitbit.
I'm done with Fitbit. I'm done.
Well, we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah.
Is it because it's just not doing what you need it to do?
I don't know. I don't really have a good reason. It's also because I'm wearing the Apple Watch now and I just don't need two
You don't
things
need to.
tracking.
No, that makes perfect sense. If you've got the Apple Watch, I mean, maybe
Yeah.
there's some things Fitbit does better, but it's not worth having two wrist things because of that. It's not like you're
Right.
gonna dump the Apple Watch.
Right. Oh, I do need a new umbrella. That's not very fun, though.
Umbrella. Is it gonna rain
A,
anymore?
A, A.
This,
We actually went out for brunch yesterday and did not take an umbrella, and it rained.
Yeah,
And we're like, wait a minute, where do we live again?
I did the same thing, but I brought a rain jacket with a hood. I just didn't wear boots. I wore my sneakers.
Usually I'm pretty good about at least wearing a jacket with a hood up, you know, if I'm thinking it's rain, but I even knew that it was supposed to rain that day, but it had been so sunny for a few hours that I just got lured into a false sense of security.
I for some reason I replaced the windshield wipers on my Jen's car when I took it yesterday, and I lucked out because it's like, oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, no, that was good
New
timing.
wipers. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
I've got some cute umbrellas on Amazon. I want something that's like not gonna break though.
Durable.
Yeah.
You need to
Sounds like
go to
a
Sweet
startup.
Home, find out what umbrellas
That's
they
a very
recommend.
good idea.
Do. Seasons
I'm
change, time
surprised
passes.
neither one of you noticed that I have brand new glasses on.
Oh, those are
I'm
those
looking at
engineering
Amazon.
types.
Also because they're almost identical to my previous glasses.
They're a
I'm
little more
wearing different
square.
glasses.
They're actually not. They're exactly the same shape. They're a black and blue gray instead of a brownish thing. It's the only difference.
There is a Wirecutter article on the best umbrella.
Oh, it's Wirecutter. I would have thought it would have been
I
Sweet Home.
thought I the same.
Interesting. Interesting to know.
It's pretty good. $10 from Amazon.
Yeah, but umbrella, is that what you want to spend your gift money on? Really?
Not really. I kind of
No.
want to spend it on this like scent dispenser.
There you
I can
go.
hear myself real loud
I don't
in
know
some
how.
months. You always say that, and yet I can always hear myself.
All right. Tell me if you can hear yourself now.
Check, check, check. Yes.
Okay, then it's definitely not me. And it's not coming through to me. And Roger, you don't hear it, do you?
What should I be hearing?
You hear Veronica echoing?
Myself echoing?
I hear
Echoing?
you. I hear, you know, your standard room reverberations without any
Yeah,
sound
right.
deadening,
No,
but it's
but that's not
not.
what she's.
I
She's
don't
saying
hear
she hears
like.
herself back to her,
Oh
which
no, I
you
don't hear
don't hear
that.
her twice.
Okay.
Oh wait, do you have speaker? Oh, you have head earphones in. I was just trying to. What? Oh, I'm so beat. Between California Adventure and the baby shower and yesterday, just tired.
That sounds fun.
Baby shower sounds fun too.
Yeah, it was cool. It's cool. Gave our gifts. We talked to some other people. I ate a lot of food. Pretty normal for me. Food.
Do you hear Roger echoing?
Do it again.
Hello. Hi, no. Veronica.
All right. So it's something on your end where Hangouts is reflecting yourself back to you, or your laptop's doing it or something. That's weird. But it's not
as long as it's
show.
Not showing up on the recording. That's fine. Yeah.
Time dilation.
What are you doing March 18th?
Me?
Yeah. Wanna come down to LA?
March 18th? That's next week.
Saturday. Yeah.
Oh, it is a Saturday. No, I actually can't because we're doing we're having Peter's birthday at our house.
We're doing a book event at Book Soup.
Oh, neat.
For the new Sword and Laser book.
Well, you should have told me earlier.
Well, I told you now.
Okay. Sure.
I should have told you earlier. You're absolutely right.
It's okay.
That is one of the things, like, when you're like, why didn't they do this earlier? I'm like, they didn't. Because I didn't think it through. When are you coming down next?
I don't have any. Oh, probably not until May, but I'll be in Orange County.
No.
But maybe we can make a Disney trip.
Ooh, yeah. We have one more pass day on our locals 3-day pass.
Yeah, it's not definite yet. We're trying to figure out it's his brother's graduation.
Oh, okay.
So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do, what the plan's going to be.
Cool. We'll stay coordinated.
Sweet.
So I don't think I gave you any strange names to pronounce, but should be.
Okay.
Should be good. Facebook is how you pronounce it.
Face?
Google.
Face.
Chris Vickery. Billion. Yeah, that's fine. Well, let's go ahead and start our video streaming then.
Streaming.
I'm a picking and I'm a streaming. Welcome everybody to a good old-fashioned daily tech news show.
I do need a new umbrella, though.
You do. You know, there's a member of our audience who works for a company that makes umbrellas.
What? What is this madness?
Mm-hmm.
Madness.
It's an Australian band.
I tried to make a madness joke for our last podcast, Tom, because we had madness in the title, and so I was going to use something from one of their albums. That's the album art, and I couldn't make it work.
Oh, really? Like a visual madness joke? Mm-hmm. Oh, for the March Madness thing. Yeah. The madness begins. Mm-hmm. Our house.
In the middle of
the... I'm loving Gateway so far.
Oh, good. I'm actually enjoying it, too. It feels dated in parts because of the whole psychoanalysis thing.
And cassettes.
Well, I was thinking about that. I'm like, I wonder if that word ever makes a comeback in a different meaning. And I'm like, that would be interesting because we're so far removed that it sounds ridiculous. But we also bring back terms, right? Like, we call things old-fashioned things sometimes. I'm like, well, maybe a cassette just means like a really high-density storage device.
Well, the original Star Trek used to say tapes for everything. All data that were on tapes. Yeah.
True.
So, I don't know. Everything, I mean, it's weird. You could never It's really hard to write something that would be considered not so dated, because there's always things that you're drawing upon in contemporary society, unless you're really like good at predicting how things are at that period of time in the future. Cover boards, flying cars. Oh my cars.
Gosh. I just realized I don't have my iPad. I'll be right back.
He doesn't have his iPad.
That would have been cool. Very now we can gossip. Try to start playing the theme music.
Me.
How does Fitbit know if you've got enough sleep?
It doesn't. It really just tracks.
It says it's supposed to be matching REM. It says on this article I'm reading that it's supposed to track REM sleep now.
You can always ask Michael Han. He works there. He gets free yoga lessons, I think.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Playing with my lower lip like a 12-year-old. No, that's a classic. It's a oldies. Golden oldies.
Man, you do something 300 times in a row. And then suddenly, one day, you don't do it right. Don't freak out. This is not the start of the show. Okay, good.
Oh my God, this is so sad.
Oh no.
That's in Thailand. 15 coins from a sea turtle stomach.
Oh, I saw that. Because people kept throwing coins into the
into
pond.
A pool. Yeah. Aww.
Poor turtle. All right, you guys ready?
Her nickname was Bank.
Aw. All right.
Let's roll. You guys ready?
Sure.
Here we go. Oh, wait. 3, 2, 1.
Quality content thrives through the support of those who benefit from its creation. If you gain value from the Daily Tech News Show, consider joining others like me who provide support. Learn how to help at dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, March 6th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt, and joining me on Mondays, Ms. Veronica Belmont is with us. How are you doing, Veronica?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am glad to hear it. We are going to talk about the misadventures of Google Home, related particularly to Google relying on its search engine to provide answers to direct questions in ways that are just plain wrong, to be honest.
That don't always work out so well.
Sometimes it's right, but there are some good examples of it being wrong. But let's start off with the top stories. Fitbit announced the Alta HR fitness tracker. This is an update to the Alta. The Alta did not have a heart rate monitor, but the Alta HR has a heart rate monitor, hence the HR. Also improved some sleep tracking. Some of that improved sleep tracking is coming to other models of the Fitbit as a software update as well. The internals of the Alta HR are 25% smaller than the Fitbit Charge 2, and that was the smallest of Fitbit's previous offerings that had the heart rate tracking. The Alta HR also features 7-day battery life and will be available at the end of March for $150, and getting a lot of attention here because it's sleek. The Altas are nice looking. It's nice and slim, but it also does the heart rate tracking, and 7-day battery life when it's continuously tracking your heart rate is pretty nice.
Allegedly, also it tracks REM sleep, which I'm not sure if that's really possible, but they do
like
say
how good
that
that can be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How good that can actually really be. The sleep tracking stuff is always kind of difficult because a lot of it's based on movement and not actually, you know, your how your physiological situation changes when you're actually sleeping. I was a Fitbit user for a very, very long time. I've since moved on to just using my Apple Watch. But I think this is a nice new design for them.
Yeah, and the reason they're saying they can do things like REM sleep is they're not just based on movement. It will use other indicators.
Maybe
they've got the magic stuff here that could make that happen. Because, yeah,
perhaps.
Otherwise it would just be tracking whether you fell asleep listening to REM albums.
Don't we all? GameStop senior director of merchandising Eric Bright told Gamerant that the Nintendo Switch was, quote, one of the strongest and most successful gaming console launches for GameStop in the last several years. Demand has been high, and GameStop says it's getting more consoles in stock soon.
I'll tell you how I am estimating the success of the Nintendo Switch. One is that I'm actually continuing to play it. Even though I don't need to, because we already did our summary first look on DTNS on Saturday with Patrick Beja. But also because the complaints are the kind of complaints that aren't terrible. The complaints are stickers will make the finish not be good. It can the screen can get a little scratched up if you're not careful putting it in and out. The ones about storage are pretty damning, where you really there's no cloud storage option. If you lose your Switch, you lose your data. So there's some legitimate complaints here, but none of them are it just doesn't work, except for the Joy-Con controllers. That's the one exception is if you're playing it in docked mode, especially that left controller, for me anyway, and I've heard other people say this, loses connectivity a lot, which can be bad if you're if you're trying to do like a really time sensitive move in a game. So it's not the best, and I'm hoping firmware can fix it. But then I use it in tablet mode so often that I don't notice it as much as I thought I would.
So what's the killer game for you, Zelda?
I mean, it is the only game. Is it
literally the only game?
I mean, there are six or seven other games. And some of them, by all accounts, are fairly good. But I have not tried them. I've only played...
I am super Zelda. Out of the yeah. loop.
And Zelda's great. And the reviews on it are great as well.
That's good. Yeah, I'm really out of the loop on this one. I don't know too much about what's going on, other than people on my Twitter stream are flipping out.
Yeah, I know there are people who didn't stop playing all weekend. My sister-in-law's husband works for CNET, Sean Hollister, and he posted on Twitter a weekend of Baby and Zelda. And I'm like, it's true. Like, you don't have to be parked in front of the console to play this thing. If the baby needs to be rocked, you could play this while you're rocking the baby. Like, the tablet gives a lot more flexibility than I would have anticipated, which is one of the reasons I'm playing it more. Ford announced Monday it is testing 3D printing of large-scale parts using tech from Stratasys. They're an industrial 3D printing company. Ford wants to see where it could make sense to print small volumes of parts, particularly large parts, tooling, and components. It could also allow for niche models of cars, more custom options, even lighter parts. They use the rear spoiler as an example of a part that can be a lot lighter if you 3D print it than if you have to make a metal casting for it.
Yeah, I think the initial concern is always like, oh, how well do these things hold up over time? But I'm sure they're getting to a place where the materials are, you know, definitely up to those standards.
Yeah, and how cool is it? I mean, first of all, yes, you're right. This is not a maker bot printing, you know, your car.
It's real stuff.
Yeah. These are industrial quality printers with industrial quality materials being used. And this is why they're testing it, to see how useful and durable and practical these are. But imagine being able to go in and pick a bunch more options that don't cost you a whole lot more. I mean, obviously they're going to charge you. That's why they're doing it. But it wouldn't be prohibitively expensive because they know they can print these out. It might delay you getting the car by a little bit while they print them out, but they can be done on demand. It would be no different than, oh, the dark charcoal model you want is up in Vallejo, so we'll have to drive it down and we'll get it here on Friday. You just print the part and send it out.
Yeah, I love the idea of basically custom building your own car, almost like a Timbuktu bag on the website, where you just like pick the different elements and put them together and get something completely customized for you. I know you can kind of do things like that when you buy a car these days, but this would take it to the next level.
Yeah, they're limited in what they can do for the body of the car right now, because it is so time intensive and expensive to make the parts. But if you can add spoilers and fenders that are different, I mean, again, it's going to take a little longer because they still have to assemble it, but it gives you a lot more flexibility.
Moving on, River City Media, a company listed on the register of known spam operations, did not password protect a remote backup of its data, exposing nearly 1.4 billion names, email addresses, and physical addresses. Chris Vickery, a security researcher at MacKeeper, discovered the leaked data. A failed rsync backup contained the data plus company chat logs and scripts used to counter spam prevention. Vickery has shared some of the counter spam measures he found with Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo.
There's a lot of schadenfreude going on today around this story, not the least of which came from Chris Vickery, who called them a criminal enterprise. But the other part of this story is not just that a big spammer has been taken down by this, most likely, but also that even when you aren't in control, even if when you aren't participating in a company, they can have data on you because your data is out there. And if those companies don't protect your data, it can get out. Now, again, this isn't passwords. This isn't credit card information. I get that. But essentially, you know, a lot of public information is just being passed around on the internet.
And a lot of that is available and pretty easy to find. It's just when it's bundled in such a way, it's very easy to kind of bulk use for nefarious purposes.
Yeah. And this, the positive aspect of this fine, beyond possibly putting River City Media out of business, is also giving companies a look at the kinds of countermeasures that big spam companies were using to get around the spam blocks. In a video from MIT, an industrial robot from Rethink sorts spray paint cans and spools of wire, and if it starts to make a mistake, it can read the thoughts of an observer and correct itself. A human with an EEG cap sits across from the robot, and the robot is able to tell in the EEG signals when an error potential signal happens, and then correct its sorting. Signals involuntary by the observer. You're just watching, and as long as you don't look away, when you see it make a mistake, your brain's just going to notice that. You don't do it on purpose. And so it would be really hard to thwart if you wanted to for some reason, and really hard to fake. Potential applications include nonverbal interactions, hazard avoidance. So maybe a supervisor is monitoring the factory, and if he sees something going wrong, the robots could pick up on that and correct immediately, or in a self-driving car. If you're watching and you notice something that the self-driving car may not have anticipated, it could alert the car to that.
That'd be crazy to have to try to interpret that data eventually, not just the change in brave waves, but actually figuring out what the person means, what the intent is. That's getting into some interesting areas for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise in EEG. So there's a lot of things that you might think, oh, I wonder if they could do that, that are less practical. But because the error, what did they call it again? The error potential signal is so strong, they can latch on to that. And they say another thing they could do with this is machine learning. They could teach robots by just having them do some training sessions where they start to see, oh, that's when I make the mistake. And it's instantaneous feedback.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. I'm excited about that. I'm just excited about self-driving cars too.
Yeah, although, and I know this is probably not the way it works, but how often have you been in a car, either as the driver or the passenger, and the passenger starts to get a little nervous, like, you know, freaking out, like, do you see that car turning in? And you as the driver are saying, well, no, of course I see it. I just haven't applied the brakes yet because I got plenty of time. So how do you distinguish that error? Because that's going to be an error potential signal, right? That's happening from your typical backseat driver. I guess it doesn't matter because the self-driving car is saying, oh, no, I've seen that. So I'm actually not making an error. But it seems trickier somehow.
You would not want to have a EEG cap on my head, like while I'm a passenger in a car. Tom knows. Tom
knows. Yes. Especially if I'm driving.
Classic. I'm a classic backseat driver. I do know.
Well, and I don't say things, but I definitely am a passenger who goes, ooh, okay.
I do a lot of like handles, like grabbing, door handle or like grabbing things to try to like.
Do you mind pushing the brake pedal?
Yes. Or like throw my arm across the passenger. Like if I'm driving, I'm like, yeah, that's definitely going to save your life. Anyway.
I mean, honestly, the whole thing about autonomous cars is I just want to sit in them and read a book. I don't want to have to be looking around. But, they're not saying this is required to be in one. So.
All right. Facebook has started its program of alerting people to questionable news. Links and questions show up as normal, but underneath there will be a red alert icon and a note saying what fact-checking organizations dispute the story. To avoid false alerts, stories reported by users or caught by a software algorithm are sent to multiple fact-checking organizations. A story must be disputed by two of the organizations for the alert label to be applied. So here we go. This is their first step in really trying to combat this issue, though I deeply suspect that people who already want to believe these stories to be true will be like, oh, those fact-checking organizations are BS.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, this is what Facebook's trying to do, is saying, we want to make sure you have all the information. And we also, they're trying to be very careful, and they're taking some heat for this. They're trying to be very careful not to mislabel, not to label something disputed that is true. And so that's why they're going through all these steps. But as Justin Robert Young has hashtagged it, portal to hell, when you start to get into evaluating truth, there's the easy things on the end of the bell curve that are going to be, you know, no sweat. Like the one they've used in the example here at Recode is from an outlet that only does parody, like satire news, right?
Right.
But they look very legitimate in the way they do it. When you get to the middle of that bell curve is where the rubber meets the road. That's where it's going to be an issue. And we've talked about that quite a bit on the show, but you know, this is Facebook putting it out there in the world. And the countdown begins until the first major controversy over something that they label disputed. But keep in mind, it doesn't get removed. It just gets a label.
Which I think is a pretty good compromise, actually.
Yeah. Hey, folks, if you don't have time to keep up on the Daily Tech News Show, we've got another show for you. Or maybe it's a good supplemental show for you. It's called Daily Tech Headlines. All the headlines each day in around 5 minutes. It's less than 10 minutes, but it's usually around 5 minutes. And that will keep you up to date. Go subscribe, DailyTechHeadlines.com. All right, speaking of incorrect information, Google has a couple of things that show up in search results. There's the Google Knowledge Graph. That one is very good. When you type in a search, sometimes, let's say, usually with a biography is when you're going to see it. You type in Veronica Belmont over on the right, it will have, oh, this is Veronica Belmont, this is her, you know, where she works, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Usually for CEOs, celebrities, folks like that. There's also something called snippets. Snippets isn't so thoroughly knowledgeable as the knowledge graph. Snippets is saying, hey, our algorithm looks at it and says, this link seems to have the answer to your question. We're going to extract a little bit of that and put it up here. Sometimes that works great. Sometimes it's kind of funny. So for instance, there's a meme going around about how long does a snail sleep? And the snippet was 3. It has since been corrected to 3 years, but for a while it just said 3. It sleeps 3. That's how many it sleeps. I guess it's like you could sleep in the snail.
I don't know why that's so funny.
You can comfortably fit 3.
It sleeps 3.
The snail sleeps 3. Others of them are less funny, and some of those were brought to light over the weekend. Outline did an article where they talked about a professor giving a lecture about the KKK, and someone brought up the fact that Warren G. Harding, a former U.S. president, was a member of the KKK. And the professor was like, I'm pretty sure he wasn't. He campaigned very hard against lynching. I would find it very surprising that Harding was, in fact, a KKK member. But when you searched for presidents in the Klan on Google, it not only showed Warren G. Harding, but presidents McKinley Wilson and Harry S. Truman. There is no evidence that any of them were members of the KKK. Over the weekend, Danny Sullivan of Search Engine Land was talking to Google Home. And this is where it really starts to get tricky.
Falling apart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because what Google Home does is it will take the knowledge graph and snippets and just read the answer. So you don't even have the context of the rest of the page. At least on a search engine page, right? If you say, what presidents were members of the Klan, and you get that weird snippet, you may see some correcting articles below that give you like, well, wait a minute, that says one thing, but this down here says another. With Google Home, all you get is it reading the snippet. So Danny Sullivan recorded asking his Google Home, are Republicans fascists? And having Google Home say, yes, Republicans are equivalent to Nazis, which is not true. No matter what you think of either party, neither one of them are. Even more indisputable, Rory Sellin-Jones of BBC asked his Google Home, is Obama planning a coup? And Google Home said, well, according to secrets of the Fed, Obama is in bed with the communist Chinese and may in fact be planning a communist coup d'etat at the end of his term. Now, whatever you think of the former president, His term is over, and he did not, in fact, well, I guess we don't know if he planned one, but he certainly didn't execute a coup. So they are looking at these snippets and passing them along. Now, before, it was bad because you had to kind of say, well, wait a minute, is this one right? Now it's downright deception because you have the voice of authority, the Google Home, telling you in, you know, its computer voice, this is what's true.
I mean, I've used this for all sorts of things. I've used these for recipes. I've used these to ask like what kinds of vegetables are okay for my dog to eat. And I always feel like I need to click through, even when I have a snippet that seems pretty reasonable, to find out what the source is and to read the context that the answer is being given. Because I have seen from time to time these kinds of responses that are like, that doesn't seem right to me per se. And clearly there's been some issues with this.
Now, Google has fixed all of these examples that we have mentioned, including the snails.
These examples, yeah. These examples.
But that's the problem, is Google isn't actively curating these. Google responds when someone mentions that one is wrong. There is also the ability to report it wrong. And I think a lot of people aren't aware of that. Each snippet has a link to feedback where you can choose, this is helpful, something's missing, something's wrong, or this isn't useful. And you can even add comments. If a lot of people were doing that, you know, Wikipedia style, it might actually work pretty well and reduce the error rate to a more normal level. But I don't think a lot of people even noticed that that's there. I certainly didn't.
Yeah, leaving feedback like that sometimes is really not very intuitive. It's something that I think about a lot because, you know, since I work in product, I'm always trying to figure out ways to get users to tell us how to make the product better or more useful to them. But at the same time, like these are also, the answers are changing all the time as well. Like you can have one answer, you can kind of optimize for the snippet on a website that you're running, and then a couple weeks later, that snippet switches over to something that it decided was more useful. So a lot of websites are trying to attract the eyes of Google, obviously, because it helps with their page views. But at the same time, it's kind of like when Google changes its algorithm, sometimes you just get kicked in the butt because of it. And this is happening because of snippets as well.
Yeah, I think back to the early days of the internet, and snippets was a great idea, right? Our page rank algorithm is so good that the good stuff will float to the top, and then we'll just snip out the relevant information. And it's very good at the context of saying, well, if this top result is so good, then we know the relevant part to snip out. The snipping part is very accurate. What's not very accurate is the top result always being the most reliable result.
You know, this is fascinating to me because back in 2007, when I worked for Mahalo.com, like their whole plan was to essentially use Google's algorithms and answer questions that people were typing into Google and fill out entire pages worth of information for like how to play guitar. If you search that, Mahalo is going to be at the top of the list. And this was pre-snippets, but can you imagine like they may have done a lot better if snippets were a thing now?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, maybe not ton better, but it definitely would have made a lot more sense. They ended up moving more towards the YouTube like video guide type solution, and that makes sense for that time as well. But this also would have probably driven a lot of traffic to the sites.
Yeah, I've run into this a lot too. I do a tech history, a couple of tech history efforts. The Year in Tech History is the most recent book, and I post tech history snippets at TomMerritt.com every day. And to keep them up to date, I'm always checking links, and I'm also occasionally getting people say, "Hey, hold on, this is not right." But particularly if I find a bad link, I go and try to find another link. And a lot of times, I'll search for something, and Google will tell me the wrong information in a snippet. And it looks just like the knowledge graph if you're not really paying attention. And so sometimes I'll think, oh, well, maybe I might have my fact wrong. And then I look and I'm like, no, it's passing along an incorrect interpretation of this historical event that has since been corrected, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I know I have wrong dates in my history that are from very good sources. So if you're not even making sure you've got the most reliable sources, you're going to have a lot of misinformation. It's not surprising that this happens. I wish Google would disconnect snippets from home until they either improve snippets or just leave it out.
It's too bad too, because that's actually like the perfect use case. Like, it makes total sense that Google Home would be using these, but unfortunately the source is not reliable.
Yeah. Well, thank you folks for putting this out on our subreddit and mentioning it in other places. You can participate in our subreddit. Get in there and do so if you haven't already. There's lots of good stuff in there at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. All right. Real quick, before we get to our messages of the day, Big Jim, James Thatcher in the audience, has a regular show called Tech in Trade, and he's got a lot of interesting things in the latest episode. Tell us about it, Jim.
Thanks, Tom. This time on Tech and Trade, we're going to talk about two things I love the most. We're going to talk about ocean freight and cargo and bringing it into a country and the documents that are required and the filings you need to do and who's liable. And then we're going to take that and marry it up with one of the things that Scott Johnson seems to be more and more interested in, and that's blockchain. So we're going to take our blockchain. We're going to take our supply chain. We're going to mix them together. We're going to make a nice little pie. It's going to taste delicious, or it might taste humbling. Who knows? You're going to have to download to find out. Find us at Tech and Trade on iTunes, Pocket Cast, and on Google Play Music. Back to you, Tom.
Delicious or humbling, as long as there's pie, I'm in, Jim. Send your picks to us, folks. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. All right, let's get to our messages. First of all, Jordan wrote in to point out that Windows has always used Delta updating for OS updates since XP. We mentioned that the new Windows update, which only updates the part of the code that's changed, is going to save a lot of percentage update. It's going to reduce the download file size as well. Jordan says, whether it was a Windows 10 cumulative update, a security update, bug fixes, or otherwise, Windows Update uses features of component-based servicing to download only the bytes you need. The new feature discussed on the show, part of the Unified Update platform, brings that Delta updating capability to major feature upgrades, like the Creators update that's coming out. Those are full new builds of the OS, structured very differently from a smaller cumulative update. So we may have confused you with that if we made it sound like they had never done this before. Security patches had, in fact, been cumulative updates, only replacing the code that had changed. Unfortunately, since UUP is a new free feature of the Creators Update, updates to the Creators Update won't yet be able to make use of it. For most people, UUP won't take effect until you're upgrading from the Creators Update to the next major update, but they're putting the groundwork in place for it. And the upshot is, Veronica, your updates are going to be smaller.
Sweet.
Yaru in Malaysia wrote in response to our conversation with Lertad about online commerce in Thailand to say in his country they use Facebook Messenger for purchasing, similar to the way Lertad described on Saturday's show. Yaru writes, "You might have to worry about whether the other party will honor their obligation, but this is usually safeguarded by a reputation system. Mm-hmm. You see, shops will have Facebook pages where they can be ranked, and if a shop gets a bad reputation for scamming people, well, suffice to say, it will show up in their records, not unlike how it works for third-party Amazon and eBay, which I have also used extensively. In fact, he says, this works so well that some have even used it for in-shop transactions. The other day, he says, I bought a 2-in-1 Windows machine at a physical store, and my debit card was rejected for whatever reason. So what did we do? We just did the bank-in system, and I showed him the receipt, and I was on my way. So he paid by chat while in the store.
That's something that's not going to happen for a long time here.
No, exactly, because we have a whole different mental map of how this is supposed to work. But
right.
But there it's like, oh, well, we know this system works, so we'll do that.
Though I guess we do technically do that in Apple stores now, and I think also in the new Amazon physical stores, you can just walk in and take the things you need, and either you're charged on your way out or you pay over your phone.
Yeah, it's a little less than having to use the chat interface. And we got an email that said, I've been listening to the mesh networking solutions you've been discussing on the Daily Tech News Show. I have issues with slow internet on the lower floor of my house because the Wi-Fi router is located upstairs. My existing Wi-Fi router is also quite old and in need of replacement. After comparing prices and reviews, I ended up purchasing a pair of Luma devices. The setup was easy, and now I have 100 megabits per second down on the bottom floor versus 20 megabits per second, which I used to get. So he took some of that information from the show and implemented it to good effect. Well done.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you, everyone, for being along with us today. It was a pleasure, as always. If you've got thoughts, make sure to email us, feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. What do you got going on, Veronica?
This week on Sword and Laser, we have an interview with the fantastic Brittany Curran, who plays Fen on The Magicians on the Sci-Fi Network. She was absolutely delightful, like just one of the sweetest people I think we've ever had on the show before.
Yeah, seriously, and she's fun to talk to.
Yeah, really well-read, really, really smart, and I just enjoyed it immensely. So definitely keep an eye out on swordandlaser.com, and that'll be up on Wednesday night.
Swordandlaser.com. Hey, folks, we are independent. We're not owned by anybody. We don't take advertising from anybody. The only people we are answerable to is you. If you get value out of the show, we just ask for you to give a little value back if you can. Thanks to Uriah City, Jay Christensen, and Nick Cosmos for doing just that at patreon.com/DTNS. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Good episode.
Sawyer.
Somebody rang the bell.
I thought you were going to make a joke like, so independent.
I almost did.
I clearly record at home because you're my dog.
So independent, we employ dogs to guard our broadcast. What are we going to do there for titles, Roger?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So top is when fake searches.
What's the matter?
Come along, snippet.
When fake searches come along, you must snip it. Snippet good.
But that's two different titles.
Yeah, I know. I like snippet good.
Okay, Google send me fake news. Fitbit has a change of heart, rate monitors. Search highs and lows. A switch hitter. 3D print me a car part. It's the time to switch to the switch.
No fake news is good news is another one. That's good. I don't even want to have fake news in the title, though. I hate that so much.
Snippet good.
All right. That could be the top. That's the top right now.
All right. We'll let it cook. It's far and away getting all the votes. But if you want, you know, okay, Google. Ah, darn it. Why did I do that?
What'd you do?
I just said the trigger word.
Oh.
And I should have asked how long does a snail sleep?
Three.
It's like, what's the baby using?
Yes. 23.
3D print me a car part. Maybe. That could be one of those things they can do at the dealership. I'd say that more of a dealership item. Make your special body kit.
Yeah, the whole thing about spoilers got me thinking. Not spoilers of television shows, but, you know, the things on the back of the car.
The wing.
I see them. I assume people still are in the spoilers.
Them, yeah.
So then, yeah, you could choose a bunch of different models and they would be lighter, so they wouldn't add to the weight of the car, which is kind of counterproductive with a spoiler. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'd still need metal to fix it to somewhere in the car at some point.
Well, sure, but it's less, right?
Yeah. Ideally, yeah. I mean, really, it's in some ways, it's just it's more of a continuation of what happened with CNC.
CNC Music Factory.
No, with basically it was a computer numerically controlled machining equipment, allowed a bunch of mid to small business to start up creating aftermarket parts that used to be really incredibly expensive to make because...
Yeah, so it's kind of the next step in that. That's a really good point. I thought you meant CNC. I was confused.
Everybody.
Is that CNC? Do you actually know?
Wait, who is that?
Is it CNC Music Factory? Everybody dance now?
Isn't it? Who's that laughing?
It's just in your head, Roger.
I heard like a distant echo. Are you with someone, Tom?
No. I think you're finally losing it, Roger.
Finally. Ugh. Do, 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 do.
All right. Snippet. Snippet good?
Snippet good.
Excellent. Then we are golden on the title.
Golden child.
Are you still reading about the turtle, Veronica?
No, I was watching a PSA.
A PSA?
Uh-huh.
Public service announcement.
That's what it stands for.
Oh, it's you. You're just breathing into your mic or something.
Elegant. So elegant.
It's the dulcet tones that launched 1,000 ships. The other way.
Ian heard the laughing too, so you weren't crazy, yeah. Roger.
No, I wasn't crazy.
All right, I have to go.
All right, if you must.
Thank you
once again.
Thank you, poor turtle.
Poor turtle.
Poor bank. All right, see you later.
All right, have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Poor turtle. Well, it died a rich animal.
Yeah, but you can't take it with you.
How ironic. I mean, so many lessons. You can't take it with you. You had enough money to buy its freedom, but ultimately it was killed by it.
Yeah.
And, life just... Well, life gives you spare change. What are you supposed to do? Open a bank?
Don't swallow it.
Yeah.
That's the lesson. When life gives you spare change, don't swallow it.
Well, now they have to open a bank or the bank. Or bank.
That's true. They did.
Yeah. We opened a bank. We opened a bank. Oh.
Not the way you thought, though. Cord Killer is going to be fun. We got some nifty cord cutting news. PlayStation View is only on the Sony version, on the PlayStation 4 version so far, but they're doing picture-in-picture. So you can have three channels up at once from within the PlayStation View app. I don't know how useful that will be, really, but it's kind of cool. I always wondered why services like that, even like something like an Apple TV or a Roku, wouldn't do picture-in-picture. So that I could have multiple things up. Because if I have MLB.TV, sometimes I might want to watch a show on Netflix, but have the game in a small window so I could keep tabs on it.
I do it if I'm playing a video game occasionally. Like I'll play a game and I'll have the whatever. Just to know if my stories are on.
It's mostly for sports, though. You're not going to watch three movies. Most people, never say never, most people are not going to watch three movies at once. I know you are that one person out there going, well, I do that, and I have a very good reason. But you're different, and we love you for it. We really do. Okie dokie. I'm uploading the show.
What will future generations think of society? Think.
Where did that come from?
No, I'm just curious. I was just going through all the links from the Google story. It's like, will people look back at this as kind of our Wild West?
They had many things wrong. They thought many. They had many misconceptions in those days.
They were very naive people.
Yeah, in a certain way, we are.
And then will come the. And there'll be a period of time that will be known as the Great Reckoning.
I was thinking about this very story this morning, and I'm working on a column for the Patreon-only post this Thursday about how we kind of have forgotten that the internet, those of us who've been on the internet for a long time, have forgotten that the internet has changed around us. And there's a different sort of ethos from the 90s that I know... It sounds kind of dumb when you say it. Like, yes, Tom, we know the internet changed. There's a bunch of people on that weren't on. But there's still a part of me that thinks, like, hasn't adapted. It still thinks in that 90s era way of like, yeah, but we're all on the web, so we all know that the web works this way. And the fact is, Most people don't.
Yeah. Well, part of it is that, you know, we got into it right at its infancy in relation to like a public adoption.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as people just slowly fall into it, it is its own beast.
Well, entirely. Now it's more like humanity, and less like a subculture. There are many subcultures on the internet, but the internet itself is no longer a subculture. Yeah.
You mean like motorists, back when motorists were a select few hardy people?
Yeah, that's an interesting comparison.
Willing to drive their Model T on rutted roads, dodging barnyard animals and people.
That's a really good comparison, because you still have motorist subcultures, right? There's people who like sports cars, and people who like classic cars, and people who like working on cars. But there's not a motorist subculture that is all of them, right? I mean, the closest thing would be Top Gear, I guess, but it's, you know.
But like everyone, for the most part, you know, they can afford two-wheel drive.
Yeah.
If they can.
And if you're a car person, that's different than liking the fact that cars exist. The motorist culture was about like, look at what we can do that you can't do with your horse. Like, there's just a different approach to it. Oh, well. More thoughts coming on Thursday. If you're
actually, it was worse to drive back then. Oh, sorry, responding to the JPEG.
What
in the chat room? We said it was probably much easier to drive back then. Little traffic.
Well, yeah, but the
they didn't have traffic laws or any of the stuff that we understand. The roads really sucked. In the early 1900s, there was an expedition mounted by the U.S. Army to cross the U.S. from the East Coast to the West Coast by car, and it was like, what? There's no roads. You can't, you know, you got the train and that's about it.
Yeah.
But it took them a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took them 3 weeks.
There's these old, I can't remember what they're called now, but there's these old books, I think from the 20s and 30s, that were guides for people to drive across country. And you're like, oh, okay. Like a road map. Like, no, it's like a detailed guide of like, here's how you get from this point to this point. Here's the things you'll need to pack with you to make it. Here are the service stations that might be able to help you if you break down. Like, it was something you had to plan for. You couldn't just hit the road like you can now. It was more like camping.
Like, even road trips have no longer hold the same mystique.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, part of that is the homogenization.
Interstate.
Yeah.
Well, it's the interstate. You bypass everything.
Yeah. That's why one of my favorite road trips I ever took, I went side roads a lot of the ways, and you get to see more interesting things. But even then, a lot of the things were dying away, and that was back in the 90s.
Well, you know, ever since crazy people were chasing other people with chainsaws stuff, people just avoided those lonely roads.
Yes.
Stick to the highways you're used to.
Get out. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching, listening, supporting, and we will be back tomorrow. Talk to you then.